Have to be a bit louder. So it's good to see you all. Hope you had a good Christmas. Hope Happy New Year to you. I don't know what your Christmas was like. I had a really lovely Christmas. It was a bit hectic. We got all the band back together. My son from Newcastle came back, and Matthew was back from Birmingham. So we had a full house and an empty fridge. Go back to my fridge. I've forgotten how much they eat. I went to the fridge for a beer. Nothing left. My kids have got to the age where they drink all my beers. It's not good. So if you see them, just have a little quiet word. Anyway, I hope you had a lovely Christmas, and it is good to be back with you this morning. We're going to start this morning thinking about a series that we're going to be looking at this morning, and that is, I think it's interesting that the songs we've been singing this morning have been talking about a way of living, a way of thinking that is increasingly, I think, different to the way the majority of the world thinks. This idea of being people of the kingdom. I know the songs weren't specifically saying that, but this idea of in his presence our problems disappear. It's not about our problems going away, but it's about having a perspective that helps you see things differently. And for us as a church, for us as a people of God, to be able to be all that God has called us to be, there is a stepping into this way of thinking, into kingdom thinking, if you like, into ways of thinking that Jesus talked about and, most importantly, lived out in the way that he lived his life. And so we're going to be looking at, I think, the key sermon of Jesus, and that's what's often called the Sermon on the Mount. It's a bit like Jesus' manifesto, if you like. You know, each year the political parties, they'll have their meetings, won't they, their conferences, and they will have the key speech in which they tell us their manifesto, what they hope to achieve, what their dreams are, what they would like to bring change, how they want to inspire us. This is a manifesto of the kingdom that Jesus preaches. And it's found in Matthew 5 to Matthew 7. And over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at these passages. And we're going to be delving into them quite in detail. This morning, what I want to do is do a little bit of an overview, put it into context, if you like, a little bit, and so that we've got that framework to be able to understand the rest of the talks that we're going to be hearing. The Sermon on the Mount, is one of the most quoted, has some of the most quoted phrases that we know from the Bible. And I'm going to read some of those in a moment. But before I do that, I just want to take us back to just before Christmas. Some of you will have been here. We talked about Isaiah 60. And the reason I want to talk about that is because what Jesus was doing in this Sermon on the Mount that we're going to look at, what he was doing was he was identifying with the hope that the people of God have had all the way through their time. And in Isaiah 60, if you remember, this was a passage that we read just before Christmas and is often read around Christmas. It's this: "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn." This image, if you like, that's why we've got this image on the screen, this image of light breaking into darkness. That even though the peoples were surrounded by tough stuff, darkness, light was breaking in. And this has always been the hope of the people of God. That's why in a lot of the passages, and particularly in Isaiah, we have these verses that talk about it. I wonder if you've ever, I remember when I was younger, staying up with friends and never going to bed. I mean, the thought of it now just frightens me. But when I was younger, that happened. And, you know, I remember once going all the way through the night, and we were out, I think we went to the coast, and then seeing the dawn break and not having slept. And, you know, if you've ever seen that, you've looked out and you've seen the dawn break, those first rays of light just starting to break into the darkness. It's that sort of an image, the glow that heralds the new day, separating darkness, bringing the promise of the light. And the life of and teaching of Jesus is, if you like, a signal, a sign of this new day dawning. It joins with the hope of the people of God right through time, that one day God would come and make all things new again and restore things back to the way they were meant to be. And Jesus, particularly in these words, in this Sermon on the Mount, this Matthew 5-7, he is announcing the dawn of this new day, the dawn of this new kingdom. The light is breaking in to the darkness. And all the time, if you like, between Jesus coming and his death and resurrection and the time we live in now, up until what we've just been singing about, when we will stand with Jesus in heaven, when he comes again, that time is the dawn breaking and the kingdom breaking into the darkness. And the people of God, you and me, being like Jesus in announcing this, in demonstrating this in the way that we are. It's amazing, and we get very familiar sometimes with these words, but it would have been very countercultural in the way that Jesus talked, and we'll see that as we look through the passage. The darkness is giving way for light, and all of Jesus' life is an announcement of the new day. He's putting down markers. He's saying, this is what the kingdom of God looks like. We're heading in that direction. It breaks in now. We see glimpses of it, but we're heading in that direction. This is what it looks like. People who are citizens, if you like, of the kingdom of God, they look like this. They behave like this. So think about the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Actually, a better word than blessed is happy are, or congratulations even. If you find yourself in that way of being, congratulations, because God is near you. God is with you. The fruit, if you like, of people who have feet in the kingdom of heaven, even though we live on this earth, are the things that we read about in Matthew 5-7. So I hope you are open to being challenged, because I've read through this and I thought I was quite familiar with it, and I am to some extent, but reading through it and just reading how it challenges me in the way that I think, and it's asking the question, how much are my feet in the way of thinking of the kingdom of heaven? How much am I shaped by that culture? And how much are my feet planted in the way of thinking of this world? Here's some of the lines from the Sermon on the Mount. Obviously, I can't do them all now, but we are going to go through them. Blessed or happy are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Wonderful news for those who mourn. Tom Wright translated it as wonderful news. Wonderful news for those who mourn. God is close to you. He will comfort you. Zach's going to be exploring the Beatitudes particularly next week, so I won't say much more about them, but they are fascinating signposts, if you like, to what it looks like to be a person that lives within the culture of the kingdom, and what you would expect to see in your life as people who live in that culture. Sometimes, and it's important to say this, and I hope I'm not stealing from what Zach is going to say next week, but it's really important to say, sometimes it says, blessed are the poor, for example. And sometimes it's been given as, or blessed are those that are persecuted, which is true. God says he is with those who are persecuted. But sometimes people have turned that into a command, almost like you need to pray to be poor, or you need to pray to be in that place of persecution. It's not that at all. They are... There are signs that God is with you. There's a lovely line in The Chosen. We're going to watch some of The Chosen in a little bit, because I think it's an interesting way of reading this passage. There's a lovely line in The Chosen where Jesus says to Matthew, these are a map. The Beatitudes, they're a map. A map to me. If you go to where you find these sorts of people, you'll find me. I like that way of understanding it. So the Beatitudes, and then There are other sayings that you will all be familiar with. The salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth, bringing flavor to the world. You are a city on a hill, giving light and direction to people. So the people who live in this kingdom culture, you are flavor for the world. You are a light that gives direction and meaning to the world. That's what you and I are called to be like Jesus, announcing the things of the kingdom. There's a whole section on the ethics of the kingdom, looking at sexual ethics, adultery, divorce, and then how we treat those who do wrong to us, loving them, showing kindness to them, and not getting revenge. Some tough teaching, but stuff that we need to engage with. There's a section on the posture of the follower of Jesus as being not showy, but being humble. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. All teaching that is helping us to see what it looks like to be a person who lives in the kingdom of God. There's a section on what our value should be, that what is going on in our hearts is what really matters. Don't store up for yourself treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And there's a section on how God provides for those who choose him. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Key teachings about what it means to live lives that reflect the values of the kingdom. And then he finishes the sermon with, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man, a wise person who built his house on the rock. And we'll all have that little Sunday school song starting to play out in our head now. Are you someone who builds your life on the firm foundations of the teachings of Jesus? Am I? That is what we're going to be looking at over these next few weeks. And the challenge of it, because it is a challenging sermon, it is a challenging talk that Jesus gives, and it will hopefully speak into our lives and gently, sometimes not so gently, remind us of what it means to be a follower of Jesus and what it means to live a life that announces the things of the kingdom, individually and as a church. We're shaped these days by so many ideas and ways of thinking, and these words and these teachings call us into a way of thinking, of being, that flows from the kingdom of heaven. We've talked about soundtracks sometimes, haven't we? The soundtrack of heaven, and how is your life, is my life, does it have the soundtrack of heaven dictating it, narrating over it, enabling you, enabling me to live the life that is a kingdom life? And like I say, we haven't got time to go into the detail of it, but Matthew, when he writes his gospel, he deliberately links it back to the Old Testament. So, for example, Matthew 2 has Jesus and his family coming out of Egypt, and that's linked back to the people of God escaping Egypt and the Exodus. And then you have the baptism of Jesus in Matthew 3, and it links to the people of God going through the waters. So Matthew is deliberately saying that hope that you have as a people of God, it's fulfilled here in Jesus. It's fulfilled in the way that he is living his life and what he's doing. And in Exodus 19:5-6, it says this: if you obey me, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation, distinct, set apart for God, people engaged in mission, a light to the surrounding nations. So what I'd love to do before I just say a few things off the back of it is, it's a little bit long, but I think this will be really helpful for us as we explore the Sermon on the Mount. And we're going to watch this excerpt from The Chosen. Now, this is a little bit from the end of season 2 and a little bit from the beginning of season 3. And it is the Sermon on the Mount. And obviously, a lot of it is conjecture. I don't know if you've watched The Chosen. It's conjecture, a lot of it. It is based on the Bible, but they kind of have Jesus having conversations and the disciples having conversations that aren't recorded in the Bible. I've never had anything that I've watched go and go, there's no way that possibly happened. I've often gone, that probably is what happened. But I just want to give that disclaimer. I'm not saying that what we watch here is exactly the way it would be, but I think it will give us a good feel for this sermon and how it might have been. And it starts with Jesus practicing the sermon with Matthew. I don't know if you've ever wondered how the actual Bible comes to us. Well, Jesus must have chatted to his disciples. They must have been writing it down and recording what Jesus said. And it starts with Jesus going, I've got it. I've got what I'm going to say. I've got my opener to my talk. And Matthew starts to write down the Beatitudes. And then it goes into Jesus preaching. Now, I have cut out quite a bit because it's three chapters. So we'd be here a long time if we watched it, so I haven't put all of it in, but I just wanted to give us a flavour of what it might look like. So if we could watch that now, Sarah, thank you.
Matthew.
Oh, boy.
I've got it.
The opening?
Yes.
What is it?
A map.
A what?
Directions where people should look to find me.
Okay, give me a moment. I'm
ready. Rabbi, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven.
Yes, but how is it the map?
If someone wants to find me, those are the groups they should look for.
And then?
You are the salt of the earth.
You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder. and whomever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you, everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. So if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets.
Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand.
And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it.
And everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock.
Great, I hope that's helpful. I think it's really helpful to see, obviously we didn't see all of it, but to see the full scope of it and how it all fitted into one sermon that Jesus gave. And it was revolutionary. It was, it was the manifesto of what the kingdom of God was about. And I just want to finish by saying that as a church, we want that to be our manifesto too. The manifesto of the kingdom. It's always been, as a church, what we're about. Trying to be like Jesus individually, looking at him, learning from him, him as our rabbi, if you like, the person that we follow in his footsteps. And as we spend time with him, becoming more like him, so that the things that we do, the things that we say, that the way that we show the kingdom of God is in line with the things that Jesus did. And so we are... Over this next few weeks, we're particularly going to be looking into these teachings. And like I say, please be open to what God is wanting to challenge us about. It isn't always easy teaching when you're challenged by these words of Jesus. But he never meant it to be easy, but he always did it in a loving and inviting way. His heart is for you and me to become more like him, because that's what we were created to be like. And his heart is for our church, us as a church, alongside all the other wonderful churches in Sheffield, to be a light to others, to show a different world, a different kingdom to people, and to celebrate that which is of God, that which is of the kingdom. So particularly, we think as a church, and I've said this before, but I want to emphasize it again, I think we as a church have been particularly called to pioneer amongst the poor and the marginalized. You can see that in what God has given us the opportunity to do. Right now, Streetwise are meeting over in Teaching Hall, and we have We have one of the biggest food banks now in the country. Now, that isn't something to celebrate, but it is something to celebrate that God has given us the opportunity to meet a kingdom need there. And what we will be pressing into, in terms of signs of the kingdom, is that blessed are the poor. Blessed are the poor in spirit. There's lots of conversation we can have about who are the poor, but it at least means the poor. As well as other things, it at least means that. Blessed are they. Now, we have this opportunity to serve and to meet needs there, but I also believe that where the poor are, God is. That's where we'll find him. That's where we will encounter him, because that's where he likes to be. So we want, you may have heard me say this before, but I want to be very clear. We, this year, are particularly pressing into planting. We've had a year, we've had a few years of tough years, really, where we've kind of been regrouping. But I think we need to start talking about where we are going. One of our values is on the move. Remind yourself of the values. They're all on the wall over there. One is for the poor and marginalized. One is being on the move. And it's all about representing these kingdom values. And we were particularly going to plant with the strategy of planting food banks and cap debt relief and all the things that we do well in Restore, and then growing gospel communities around that work, like discipleship pathways off the back of that. So please hear me very clearly. We do not do that work in order to get a conversation about Jesus with people. We do that work because that is kingdom work in its own right. That is the work. That is a sign of the kingdom. Because in heaven, there is no poverty. There aren't people who are hungry. In heaven, there aren't people who are in debt and slave to debt. So it is worth doing in its own right. But I think the fullness of the gospel is that we introduce people to Jesus as well. And we look at pathways for people to know about Jesus. And so we are particularly, our strategy is to plant food banks, plant cap debt relief, plant restore work, and grow gospel communities off the back of that. Zach, our curate, is particularly going to be looking at that. He's with us 3 years. He's already started doing, thinking about this. That's why he's over in Streetwise at the moment. Connect Cafe is exactly what it says. It's joining with the amazing work that Restore do, and it is looking at connections, ways of helping people onto discipleship pathways. And my dream, our dream as a team, is that we will start modeling something there that we can multiply out. So there's a new food bank going to be starting at KC this year, and Giles is going to be looking at Connect Cafe, similar thing. How do we do discipleship pathways off the back of this amazing work that Restore does, that we're part of, that we partner with? So that is our key drive. We're also in talks with Arbourthorne. You remember Lucy, our curate? She's up in Arbourthorne there. I'm a trustee for the church there, and we've still got good connections there with Lucy. There is also Arbourthorne, Hope Family Arbourthorne, that we're in conversation with. We do a food bank there with them, and we're in conversation with them becoming part of Network Church Sheffield, and us doing Connect Cafe connections off the back of the food bank work, because they believe in what we do, what the vision that we have. And we as a church have always been a church that looks for partnerships. We know we don't just do it on our own, that God puts us with other people. And it seems that God is leading us to be with these people up at Hope Family Arbourthorne, which is exciting. And it's another way for me that God is confirming this is the strategy he has given us. And it's not just about what NCS can do. We will always be looking for how we can serve the church in Sheffield. And if it's not about an NCS network, that's fine. We will. This is why I think we as a church have been called to serve the whole wider church in this particular area, work amongst the poor and marginalized. So that's exciting. That's what we're going for. If you want to be praying into that, be thinking about how you maybe could serve that work. There are many communities already who are serving the work of Restore, but that will be increasingly where we are seeking to push. And linked to it is our communities. And I just want to hold my hands up and say, I know it hasn't been easy to know what communities there are in the church and how you get involved in a community. That will change, Because if we are going to be people who live out the life of the kingdom, if we have this manifesto of the kingdom of God, if we're going to be those people, you cannot do it on your own. And you can't do it just by coming to church on a Sunday morning. You have to do it in community. You have to do it with others. I need people to be challenging me and helping me to follow Jesus. And you need people to help you follow Jesus. And I need to be doing that with other people as well. That is the place where we get sharpened, where we, if you like, we help turn each other's heads towards the east, to the right, to the dawn, rather than facing the darkness. And it's hard living a life of being a follower of Jesus and living the kingdom manifesto. You can't do it on your own. So communities have always been vital, but we're particularly going to push into that, and we'll make signing to communities easier and how you get involved. One date for you, the 28th of February, is it? I better just quickly double check. 26th of February, there is going to be a newcomers meal. Now, newcomers might be people who've been here for a year and a half because you've not had the opportunity to do this. But there is going to be a newcomers meal on the 26th of February where we will talk about communities, how you can get involved. And we're going to be doing regular newcomers meals. It's just a way. How can you connect in? How can you serve? How can you be part of a community? What communities are there? And that's on the 26th of February. Community leaders, could you particularly make a note of that? Because I would love you to be there. I haven't told you that yet, but I have now. And everyone's heard me tell you that. So that's the newcomer's meal. And, I mean, it's exciting. There are some communities that have stopped, and that has been right. But we've had three new communities start last term. And there are opportunities for more communities to start. And I know it would be helpful for you to know about these, and I do apologize that you haven't known about these, but we are going to. Now we have Katie. Is Katie in here still? Katie Wharton? Pardon? Oh, she's in Kids Church. She's serving in Kids Church. But Katie Wharton now has come on as communications person with us for a day a week, and she is, it's great. I just look on Facebook and things appear, and it's such a blessing to me. That she's starting to do that communication. So hopefully that will become better for you. But please do keep talking to me, keep asking me. If you want to know about communities that you might be able to be involved in, don't wait for the newcomers meal. Come and chat with me, and I'd love to talk to you about that. So, the manifesto of the kingdom of God. We need to help each other to live in that. We're going to be exploring it on Sunday mornings. Different people are going to be talking about it, exploring what, in detail, what that sermon is. But we're also going to be pushing into this planting strategy, which is, for us, the particular bit of the kingdom of God, the manifesto of the kingdom, I think God has called us as a church to serve in, alongside, like I say, all the other things that happen. And communities, being in community together is vital. It always has been. And we will, as a team, do our best to help you be in community. But can I really encourage you to take that seriously? We've never been a church where you just come along on a Sunday morning, get your little fix of church, and then go home and do nothing about it for the rest of the week. We will always be a church that is about encouraging people into community. And communities that do worship, that do looking after each other, sharpening each other, and communities that get involved in things of the kingdom, outward focus. And we'll talk a lot more about that. Okay. I hope you're excited. I think this sermon is amazing, Matthew 5-7, and there's some good preachers we've lined up to preach. So I've given them the tough stuff. And I avoid, that's one of my prerogatives. I can hand over the tough. But John, you don't know what verses you've got yet, but you can guess what they might be. Great. Can I encourage you to stand? We're going to finish in a moment, and we'll finish with some worship. But I'd just like us to just settle in our hearts. Where are you at with this? Where are you at with what it means to be a follower of Jesus? Are you up for being open to what Jesus wants to lead you in personally and what he wants to lead us together as a church into? be open to what he wants to do. And I just want us to, as a way of response, really, to, in our hearts, respond to God and say, if you're happy, say yes, I'm open to this, Lord. I'm open to what you want to challenge me with over these next few weeks. And can I encourage you to, as much as possible, make coming to Sunday morning to hear these talks a priority? And if you miss them, I know people are away, look at them up on YouTube. They're all on YouTube. So you can watch the sermon again. So try not to miss this great sermon and as exploring it. So Lord, we stand before you this morning. We thank you that we are free to be your people, to meet together like this and to worship you. Thank you for all that you have done in and through us through the years as a church. And thank you that you're always a God who is wanting to lead us deeper into the things of the kingdom. And so, Lord, we pray that you, by your Spirit, would continue to shape us as individuals and as a church, particularly as we look at your words, Jesus, the sermon that you preached all those years ago, may they be fresh to us again in this term. We say yes to all that you want to do. We say yes to the challenge. Give us the courage and faith, Lord, to step out with you. And if you agree with those words, just say amen. To finish by worshiping, and then I'll finish with a final blessing.